I saw the boys the other day. Uh-huh. We're going to go back to Newton Haven.
Why?
Five guys, 12 pubs, 50 pints.
60 pints.
Steady on, you alky.
This is our chance to finally finish what we started.
No.
We are going to do the Golden Mile, and this time we are going to see it through to the bitter end. Or lager end.
Good evening.
I got a couple of things to tell you. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Edgar Wright, fucking see it. Good night, everybody.
Instant boner in my pants. So, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the world's end. Edgar Wright's latest triumphant here, where the trio is back, you know?
Instead of the Cornholio Trilogy, someone just pointed me out. Someone pointed this out to me. It should be renamed the 91 Trilogy, because all three of these films have come in at 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And they all deserve it.
Now, they really do.
This is probably my least favorite out of the three, but I still enjoyed the goddamn movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I think just because I'm more of a sci-fi fan, I think this comes in just in front of Hot Fuzz for me.
Does it? I really love Hot Fuzz. I know a lot of people pick Shaun of the Dead over Hot Fuzz, but I think Hot Fuzz is my favorite than Shaun of the Dead than this one.
It goes Shaun of the Dead, this, and then Hot Fuzz for me. Although, I mean, honestly, all three are still better than a lot of crap that we see today.
Oh, yeah, of course, or whatever. I mean, you know, you got Edgar Wright writing it. I mean, the genius behind Edgar Wright or whatever. Ant-Man, can't wait.
Exactly. I mean, okay, people, you can say what you want. Shaun of the Dead, first-time director, maybe his second film will be bad. Hot Fuzz, well, let's see what he does next time. After this film, you can't say that he's not good anymore.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Neil Blomkamp, beat your heart out, man.
I mean, it's really, he is ushering, Blomkamp, you know, David Russell, these guys are ushering in kind of a new wave of Hollywood directors.
Well, you know, I got to say, because we said the same thing about Neil Blomkamp, whatever, with his second film coming out with Elysium. I think this one left more of an impression on me than Elysium did.
I would have to agree with you. I think this one's more risky than Elysium was.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's just something about, like, with Elysium, I saw it, I gave it a see it, and I was just like, yeah, I don't really have any intention of wanting to go back to theater to see it. But with this one, I feel the need to go see it again because there are so many references in the movie, whatever. I feel like I missed a couple of them.
It's so fast-paced, and it works because, you know, every one of Wright's films is fast-paced. It's so fast-paced that you can easily miss something. And they've even said, you know, these films are meant to be watched over and over again so you catch what you miss.
And that's the thing. And that's the best part about it, because that's how you make that $1 billion. You have to have that repeat business or whatever.
Exactly.
Get that $1 billion. And I've been listening to reviews. I heard some things. I've seen some things where they brought up something. I was like, that happened? I was like, God damn it, I need to go see this again. I need to catch that.
Yeah, I agree. But you want to give a just regular plot synopsis here?
Yeah, plot synopsis here is Simon Pegg plays Gary the King, you know.
The King!
He pretty much dresses up better than the Mortal Instruments people. And
yeah, he's the goth kid that actually is respectable.
He's a goth kid that's actually cool because he hangs around the jock. The nerdy kid, the outcast, the, you know, those kind of people, whatever. You know, he hangs around. He don't have no. He doesn't hang around with the emo kids all day. He hangs around the cool people, whatever. And pretty much 20 years passed since high school, and he just want to get the band back together so they can finish that. What would they call it? The Golden Mile.
The Golden Mile. 12 pubs, 12 pints, all in one night.
12 pints, 12 nights, and what was he pretty much gets the band back together, and then they just go on this 12 pub crawl hunt, and next you know it, robots become.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of people I talked to did not know about the robot pub. They were like, it just looks like a normal pub call, like comedy. So when I went to go see it, and in the theater, I mean, my theater was mildly packed. When that boy turned into a robot in the bathroom, you just saw a bunch of faces have the expression of, what the fuck?
See, I thought it was going to be Alien because obviously I saw the trailer because obviously we did the trailer last year.
Yeah.
But I thought it was going to be Aliens because of the blue lights, and I thought it was going to be like Aliens, robots, and all other kind of shit too as well, whatever. But as soon as, because since I already knew that, I was waiting for it to expect when it happened. And then as soon as Simon Pegg was talking to the dude in the bathroom, he wasn't talking back to him. I was like, oh, is this where it's going to begin? And dude, when his head came off, I ain't gonna lie. Like I told you last night, his head looked like the shit you drop in your toilet bowl that's blue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, you can say what you want. The quote-unquote gore effects that are used in the movie, they're played for laughs. I don't care who says otherwise.
I got blood on my hands, No, it's ink. I got ink on my hands.
Yeah, they're obviously played for laughs. You know, it harkens back to genre films, which, you know, all three of these are mimicking and making fun of, but, you know, in a satirical way, all three of these films have done something where, you know, when there's gore in these films, it's all hilarious.
You know, I don't even think, honestly, because here's been the debate of the topic is, do you like the first half better or the second half better? And I don't even think, honestly, the robot invasion, I don't even think that's part of the, well, it is part of the plot, but I don't want to say it's the major plot. The major plot is these five guys getting back together and going on this pub crawl. The robots are just there to keep them going.
Right, exactly, and it's a different way to keep the story like this going. I mean, we've seen a story like this before, where it's where it's really like a midlife crisis type story, but adding the robots in, at least for me, gives it that sort of crazy energy that these films have, you know, for, in my terms, what these films have benefited off of.
I would agree or whatever. I mean, I think what Edgar Wright does best is he caters to a certain fan base and moviegoers. Like I said last night, my only complaint probably would be, it's not even a complaint for me neither, just for average people that don't go see as many movies or know about what Edgar Wright is, you might not get some of the humor or the jokes or something like that, or it might be too British for you, so you might easily be turned off. But for like moviegoers, which there's a lot more of, you guys are going to fucking love this film because it's so many tropes, right?
I think the other thing that's really should bear mentioning is that, you know, for the casual moviegoer, this might be a little too crazy for them, just like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz were, because I know that was a kind of a complaint against both those films too. It's just, they're crazy, ridiculous. And a perfect film that's a complaint against is a lot of people, you know, they didn't get Scott Pilgrim because it was that same thing where, you know, it's catered to.
I forgot about that.
It's catered to a specific audience, and that specific audience is going to love it. But if you're you know, a casual moviegoer, some of the jokes might go right over your head. It's the same case with this. I mean, it's catered for me, but I completely understand if someone were to come up to me and say, I didn't think this was that funny or I didn't get it, I would understand completely why that is.
Yeah, I would exactly agree with you. I wouldn't begrudging when I said I didn't get the film or really I was funny or something like that. I'd be like, oh, well, you know, something you really have to be involved in movies or Edgar Wright himself to know what's going on.
But yeah, you have to know a lot about, you know, in terms of this movie, you have to know a lot about sci-fi films. You have to know a lot about, you know, the middle age films, a lot of stuff like that. And I even have to say the heartfelt, you know, quote unquote twist that they bring about three-fourths through the movie. I actually, you know what? I really enjoyed it. It was a unique idea, and they covered their tracks pretty well with it.
And go ahead and explain that heartfelt twist.
Okay, so earlier in the movie, when they're trying to they figure out Invasion of the Body. It's pretty much Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but they figure out these robots are copying DNAs and making people into robots. So they're all trying to figure out, after one of their friends turns out to be a robot, they're trying to figure out, you know, are any of us robots? And they turn to Simon Pegg's character, and they're like, show us your birthmark, and he won't show it. So to prove that he's human, he starts hitting his head off shit, so they believe that he's too stupid to be a robot.
And he's like, there, see, still stupid. You know, usually Simon Pegg is my favorite in this trio, if you want to go, but Nick Frost had to steal away from me this time.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because here's how it breaks down for me. Shaun the Dead, both these guys are idiots.
Yeah.
Hot Fuzz, Nick Frost is the idiot. It's time for Simon Pegg to be the idiot. And I'm glad that they were fair on that point. Because you're right, Nick Frost is really good in this.
Yeah, because actually, you know what, the whole leading five-star crew or whatever, I enjoyed so much or whatever. I mean, Simon Pegg, he's just such a fuck-up that it's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah,
I mean,
and when he's required to do, because they find out later the reason he wouldn't show them his birthmark is because he's been cutting himself. And he almost committed suicide. It's kind of this thing where it's like, oh, shit.
You know, the funny thing is, I was thinking of an annoying dick that was kind of like this, a fuck-up or whatever, where I didn't mind so much, but then when I got to a certain scene, I was like, you know what, I kind of hate this guy. And that was in Hangover 3 with Alan.
Yeah, but the difference...
Everybody sees him as an enormous dick, and I was just kind of like, eh, whatever, that's just him. But then when he started talking to that kid, I was like, I hate this dude or whatever. But with Simon Pegg's character, I found his fuck-ups to be funny throughout the whole
thing. Exactly. His fuck-ups are funny, and when, you know, when he had, you know, the difference between Alan and a character like this is they never make Alan redeem himself. They never give it a, Alan a reason for why he could be a fuck-up. They just leave it ambiguous, which doesn't help. But with this, you see that, you know, this pub crawl really is the only thing he really has redeeming left in his life.
And he doesn't really give a shit about his friends to finish this pub crawl.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And his... But he raises the interesting point of, like, look, I'm not happy, and I know you guys all aren't happy. You might say you are, but I don't think you are. And you find out as the film goes on, he's kind of right.
I don't think so. I don't know about that. Nobody's 100% happy, but I don't think they want to be with this loser. I mean,
No. I wasn't saying that. I'm just saying that, like, he says that they're, like... All of you saying that, like, you're happy as can be, I know that's not true, and it ends up being later, especially with Nick Frost's character, that's kind of the case.
None of them really explain why none of them wasn't happy, except for Nick Frost, but then I don't think Nick Frost, as the way he explained it, says he was pretty much unhappy. He pretty much says shit happens, get over it, whatever.
Yeah, I'll give you that, but, I mean, it's just one of those things where I didn't expect that coming, I will say that right now, and but it was...
The thing that we just talked about?
Yeah, where... You find out why Simon Pegg wants to do this. I didn't expect that because I just expected him to be Midlife Crisis or something like that. When they showed that, I actually kind of commend the film for doing something a little different and at least giving me a surprise.
What was your favorite reference in the movie, if you remember?
You know what? I gotta go the fence joke.
Gotta go to the fence joke?
I gotta go with the fence joke because all... It's one of those things where after Hot Fuzz, I was like, I don't know how they're going to keep doing this fence joke. And then when they do it in this movie, I just started laughing hysterically.
Okay, my favorite is, did you notice that each of the bar names was part of the plot?
Yes. That was really good, too. And apparently, they said this in the spill review, and I was looking for it, but I didn't catch it. Apparently, they explained the whole plot in the movie in the first 5 minutes, if you caught it.
I have to catch that too because I heard like several people telling me that too because they always give like Simon Pegg always gives that speech at the beginning of these films whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the beginning of the film to where he was talking. I mean, I did hear him doing a mom, but I guess I just ran over my head so fast whatever. But that's another reason why I want to go see it again because I want to catch these references or whatever.
Yeah. I will say the other thing that made me laugh really hard is when the robot chick starts flailing, like, grows the arms and starts flailing around, and they just have the face of, what in the fuck?
Okay, I gotta tell you right now, some of the fight scenes were actually pretty cool in this movie.
the one where they're just trying to drink while having the fight is the funniest.
Like, I think, I want to say the one with the twins or whatever, I can't remember what it was. I have to go see the film again now or whatever, but there was a cool fight scene with Simon Pegg and that chick wherever, and kept...
Rosamund Pike.
What was that?
Rosamund Pike,
yeah, that was pretty badass, whatever. And
it was funny. It was really funny.
What did you think of the, what was the old dude's name, whatever, that, God, I can't remember his name, the one at the bar, though.
The one played by...
Told everything goddamn, I forgot his name now.
The one played by Pierce Brosnan?
Yes, Pierce Brosnan, the other old guy.
Oh, I forget, but he's in all three of these.
Yeah, fuck, I can't believe I forgot his name now, whatever. But I like his scene where he drags the dude that's in love with Rosamund Pike's character. I forgot his name too, whatever. That one's in love with Rosamund Pike. He grabs him and take him to this room, whatever. And he just tells him everything. I told you not to say that.
Yeah. The other scene that I really like, I love every scene where Simon Pegg's character is trying to be a badass to Rosamund Pike, and it just ends up being the worst possible way for him.
I like when she first comes in the scene. He's just laying on the couch, stretched out like, hey.
How are you?
You know what? He was like, sup?
Yeah, exactly. No, he was you.
Yeah, he was me.
So, like...
The funny thing is about this character, though, is why he's such a fuck-up and why he's so likable at that, is I can relate to him.
I think it's more the fact that everyone has that friend that's like this.
That's why I say, yeah, I can relate to him.
Yeah, exactly. But the scene that also had me laughing really hard is when Rosamund Pike's just like, how are we going to get down? He's like, don't worry, we'll just jump on the cars. I see it in movies. He does it, he like breaks his shit, and he's like, okay, go the other way.
Did you see the way he jumped, though? He jumped, like, all cool and shit. He just, like, smiling. You know, the car, like, she, I think it was, like, a Mini Cooper or some shit like that. The car and caved in or whatever. He was laying there. Which was, I ain't gonna lie, that was pretty badass. I mean, my favorite, one of my favorite scenes, though, I have to say, is well, it was a couple, actually. I mean, I like the scene where they're driving to get pulled over when they first get into town, and then fucking Simon Pegg's using Peter's name and shit or whatever.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
And then he's like, I gotta keep his license steady or whatever. And there's another scene where when they go to the second bar, which I forgot the name of it already or whatever, but it was just the same resemblance of the first bar. Which
yeah. And they were all just like, wasn't this different before? I could have swore that this was, you know, a little cooler.
Nah, so yeah.
And then what part was it? Was it the fifth or the sixth one that was just a crazy rave?
I think it was the fifth one. See, I have to go back and see the goddamn
one. Yeah. The rave bar is hilarious as well.
Yeah, the rave bar, definitely.
Yeah, because there's these hot girls going up to him, and Simon Pegg's just like, just a gig incognito and act casual. These girls are grinding up on him, and they just have this blank expression on all their faces.
Funny thing is, that's the only reason why I like the older guy, because as he's explaining how the robots take over our body and stuff like that, that shit is happening to Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and them.
Yeah, exactly. Until they realize it.
And they're just going along with it or whatever. And even when he comes out and tells him, he's like, they're taking your cop, they're copying you, whatever, and stuff like that. He's like, I don't care. that is me. Hang on.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be the first one turned into a robot. People, if P1 ever says after the robot apocalypse we're gonna do a hangout, don't go.
Yeah, come. No, because I don't know I'm gonna do any more pub calls no more, because if it doesn't end up like this, my night is fucked.
Exactly. So,
what's the ending?
Oh, I respect it for having the balls to not have a quote unquote happy full ending. It's kind of a bittersweet ending.
It's kind of like Road Warrior a little bit.
Exactly. But the last shot is just kind of this thing where it's like, wow, this character really didn't learn a thing. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of looked at that too. I was just like, wow, all right.
And maybe that was the message of the film. If it was, okay, you did your thing, but you didn't need to do that.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that last shot too much. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But I didn't get angry. I just looked at it and was like, oh, okay. I wish it would have went out with something else. But I like the dialogue scene Simon Pegg, Nick Frost had with the fucking head robot master. Or whatever.
I agree. That's a great scene, actually.
Yeah, that was probably one of the best shot scenes, too, or whatever. At least, especially with all these robots twitching in the background and shit, too.
Yeah, no, it did a great job. So I don't really have anything else to say about this. I mean, it's a great movie. It's a perfect way to cap off this quote-unquote trilogy.
Yeah.
I can't wait, you know. I pray to God that this isn't the last film that these guys do together, because what these guys do together is some of the most original comedies we see in years. And when comedies have been shit most of this summer, this is a nice welcome surprise. So I'm sorry, not surprise. It's a nice welcome return for these guys, and I know it's going to make no goddamn money like the rest until it gets out on DVD. So go see it, people. Bullshit. Please.
Getting angry.
You're up.
All right, so I would agree with you completely. I mean, I can't really. I mean, even with that the whole general audience thing, or even with the little last shot, whatever, I still enjoyed the film so much, whatever, that the film is kind of smart in a way that it makes you want to go back and see it. Like,
I agree.
Feel like I have to go see it just for work, whatever. I feel like I want to go see it, and I haven't had that all summer, to be honest, with some films. Like, I'd be a lot of films, to be honest. Matter of fact, this year, to be honest.
I agree.
I definitely want to go back a second time. I'm probably not going to even catch everything the second time or whatever, because I'm going to be too enjoying myself, but I'm going to probably go back a third time. I know I'm probably going to go see it tomorrow before I fly out of town or whatever, so I have to go see it again.
I can't wait for this Blu-ray collection, because you know it's going to happen.
They better fucking. And one other thing, I do not think that this is going to be the last one. I mean, probably this so-called trilogy they have here. But, like, once again, these guys are all friends, whatever.
Yeah, they even said, look, we're all friends. This isn't The Last of Us.
Yeah, I believe they make these movies not for awards, critics' appreciation, anything. I think they make it out of pure fun for themselves. Something to give themselves a little stress relief from the work that they do outside of this or whatever. So.
And sometimes that makes for the best films.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, as much as I'd love to see characters like Mark Wahlberg or Denzel Washington, who's never worked together, team up in such great. I also like seeing friends collab together and doing something great. I'm not talking about you, Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer. But
No. We're talking about friends who are actually smart.
Yeah, exactly. Not a bunch of fucking 13 dumbasses. But I give this a see it, man. I can't wait to see this again.
So here's my question for you. They've done science fiction. They've done the action buddy cop film. They've done horror. What do you think these guys go after next?
Action, adventure, or thriller?
Oh dear God! What didn't they
see them? I want to see them do Fast and Furious.
Oh Jesus!
Their own version of the British Fast and Furious.
Now I'm starting to think about that a little bit because it would be fast cars, and then the twist would be they all have to use tricycles.
And they're all dumbasses.
There's that too. So good night, everyone.
Good night.
Welcome home, boys.
Oh, no.
The world's end.
What do we do? Let's finish our drinks.